This is the 2018 State House Podcast from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news and peer.
The state Senate is passing a bill that allows interested organizations like the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Farm Bureau to have an ongoing ballot question committee. Senate Bill 128 allows those perpetual committees to donate to several other ballot question committees for and against an issue. Critics say the bill reduces transparency. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
With previously lengthy ballots during elections, and another anticipated one on the horizon, sometimes groups that focus on policy in South Dakota may have an interest in several questions up for vote. And these groups have been around for several years, as opposed to a ballot question committee that forms for just one election cycle. Senate Bill 128 allows those former groups, like the South Dakota Retailers Association, to exist election cycle after election cycle, rather than terminating and then refiling again. Republican State Senator Terry Haverly is the prime sponsor. She says the bill is in response to many issues that make the ballot each year that these organizations want a say in.
This would allow them to continue it on for several years. They could collect the money, they could address, oppose, or support more than one ballot question and over different years. If they don't have any activity, though, they still, it'd be much like a PAC. They have to file with the Secretary of State's office, file all the necessary items.
But critics worry the legislation could have unintended consequences and obscure where money comes and goes. Democratic State Senator Billy Sutton says the bill lets these groups collect unlimited amounts of money to oppose or support a differing ballot question committee, whereas political action committees have a cap on their ability to raise money. He says that's akin to opening up Pandora's box.
The problem with that is that in current law, ballot question committees have unlimited contribution limits, whereas a PAC is limited to contributions of $10,000. And so I think we're opening up a pretty big can of worms with that. And in fact, I just think that's problematic.
The bill passed with 27 yes votes and 8 no. It now heads to the House. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
A bill giving the state legislature final say in major proposed expansions to Medicaid is going to the Senate floor for debate. Senator Jim Boland sponsors Senate Bill 190. He says state law should clearly give legislators final authority rather than unelected members of the executive branch. Opponents of the bill say Medicaid changes already go through the Appropriations Committee if there's a fiscal impact on the state budget. Others take issue with the parameters of the bill. Senate Bill 190 says any expansion equaling 5% or more of the state's Medicaid expenditures are subject to legislative approval. That's nearly $47 million based on fiscal year 2017. Senator Arthur Rush is concerned by the unintended consequences of making this bill a law.
And actually, I question whether this opens the door. Does this, in effect, give the permission to the Department of Social Services to make changes up to $46 million without the approval of the legislature? And I think that's, something we ought to be very concerned about, setting that kind of a precedent.
Proponents argue the bill places Medicaid expansion under either the general bill or special appropriations process, making that concern irrelevant. The Senate Health and Human Services Committee ultimately gives a due pass recommendation with a 4-3 vote. The House Judiciary Committee tables a bill that requires school boards to develop a policy for transgender individuals using school district facilities. House Bill 1296 also mandates school districts make those bathroom and locker room use policies available to the public. Proponents believe the bill keeps students and parents informed about bathroom policy so they can react accordingly. Florence Thompson is president of South Dakota Parents Involved in Education. She says this bill deals with a political agenda at play in schools. She also says school boards either hide behind a lack of policy or refuse to specify what their policy is.
this issue isn't going to go away, but I do think that we need to keep our eye on the needs of every child, not just the needs of a few children, and certainly not on a political agenda.
Opponents of the bill say schools with transgender students already have policies in play through non-discrimination laws. Libby Screen is an attorney and policy director for the South Dakota chapter of the ACLU. She says transgender students and their families feel unnecessarily singled out by this bill and that they don't see a need for it.
This bill could create chaos when experts on the ground are already managing individual situations appropriately. Forcing local school boards to prematurely pass policies could cause districts to fall out of compliance with federal law and the Constitution.
Members of the House Judiciary Committee say this is a local control issue that does not require a state statute. The bill goes to the 41st day with an 11-1 vote. State officials released tax receipts for collections made at the end of January. Those collections reflect the month of December, a high shopping season. Revenues are over $18 million than currently projected. Governor Dennis Dugard says he's cautiously optimistic about the numbers.
The admonition I will always be giving to the legislature is let's be careful and not be too rosy in our projection. We can always spend the money after it arrives. If we project something that doesn't show up, then we end up having to cut the budget, and that's a bait and switch from the vantage point of someone who's expecting payments and then is surprised when they are suddenly cut.
Dugard says if the state collects more than anticipated, that money goes to increasing state employee wages. Two of the state's economists will meet with the Appropriations Committee to set revenue projections. They'll adjust the current fiscal year and set projections for next fiscal year as well. Once revenues are set, lawmakers will start crafting the budget. The Senate Judiciary Committee passes a bill increasing the punishment for drug dealers when a person dies as a direct result of using the substance they sold. Senate Bill 65 increases a felony distribution by two classes if this occurs, but the charge doesn't exceed a Class C felony. The maximum sentence for Class C is life in prison and a potential $50,000 fine. Attorney General Marty Jackley is a proponent of Senate Bill 65. Jackley says there are four open investigations into drug overdoses in South Dakota. He says the legislation is needed to combat drug crime in the state.
But obviously we have a drug epidemic in the nation. It's coming to South Dakota. I think this sends the right deterrent message. If you're going to deal drugs knowingly and for money, and you're going to kill somebody, you're going to get more than a 10-year felony in eligibility in a couple of years for parole. I think it's that serious, and the fact that we have four of these cases cries out for a need to address this problem, and I think this fairly addresses it. And again, it never rises to the level past a Class C felony, so it doesn't rise above manslaughter.
State Division of Criminal Investigation Director Brian Gortmaker and representatives with the South Dakota Sheriff's Association and the State Police Chiefs Association also testified in favor of the bill. Lindsay Ryder Rapp with the South Dakota Association of Defense Attorneys opposes Senate Bill 65. She agrees there should be a punishment for people who purposefully deal drugs and someone dies because of it. But she says the maximum sentence of Class C felony is too harsh.
When I was looking at the code, I found obviously first-degree manslaughter. If you look at the first-degree manslaughter statutes, it talks about that is without design to affect death and in the heat of passion, without design to affect death, but with a dangerous weapon. So those are two examples of what is first-degree manslaughter. I would suggest that the conduct that they're asking that you criminalize here today more closely resembles a second-degree manslaughter, which is reckless conduct. And that is a different penalty. That is a Class 4 penalty.
A Class 4 felony carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and the possibility of a $20,000 fine. Jackley says judges can sentence those convicted to no jail time or probation or hand out a sentence of up to life in prison under the Class C felony. After about a half hour of testimony and discussion, committee members pass Senate Bill 65 on to a 5-1 vote. With one senator excused, the bill now goes to the full Senate.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2018 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the people's business and peer. Connect with us on social media by liking us on the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.